evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It is Thursday night, and it is 6-6-2024, and it is the anniversary, 80th anniversary of D-Day, all right? And I will tell you this. I listen to the speeches and all the things, and it's just amazing. They're going to stick to the guns in the Ukraine, Biden and all of them. And now we're seeing that the French are going to send Mirage 2000 jets in there. We got the F-15, F-16s, I believe, that have gone in there. We have apparently hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops are going to be in the surrounding areas, in the Baltics and different places. All around the globe, we have troops in Ukraine, we have troops in Poland, we have them all over the place. And the fact of the matter is, this is not going to be what you think it is and what they're talking about. They're not going to go to nuclear war. We'll have a World War III that's like World War II, you know? Well, World War II, a whole lot of people died. About 2,500 died. Americans died on D-Day on those beaches and going up into the interior in the 101st and 82nd Airborne. A whole lot of people died. And there's that cemetery right there at Normandy. It's got about 9,500 people in it. And then I think that the beach, on that beach there where they handled all the dead, American and German dead from the invasions and what happened thereafter, I think American Graves people handled over 75,000 bodies. 75,000 bodies. So this thing is not necessarily going to be like a real cool World War II or something. It's just ridiculous. And they're going to go to this thing. Brother Quayle talked about 6-6 plus, which he said the French will basically declare war. Macron, and that on Trump will be sentenced on the 11th. We don't know what he'll get, but then on 6-17, if you add the 6 and 11, you get preservation in the midst of judgment. So the U.S. will be judged. And Brother Quayle said that the Lord told him three times that every start has a finish. Every beginning has an end. And then Steve asked the Lord Jesus to give him a confirmation in Scripture. And he was immediately sent to Revelation 22, I believe. Verse like 12, 13, 14, and in one of those is, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, well, there's your every start, every beginning has an end, every start has a finish. The Webbots guy, Cliff High, he says he's looking for some kind of a nuclear war to start about 6:20. That's in that same time frame, same group. But now here's the deal. There's approximately 22 Russian subs that are around the United States off the coast. 11 East Coast, 11 West Coast. You can go to stevequayle.com. You can look and you can see that particular information he puts out. Now, what I want to tell you about is what... I was told by SIGINT person who listens to a lot of the ham bands, and also is in contact with a lot of SIG intelligence people and old hams all across the world. But apparently last Friday evening, and we know it's in the probably Friday evening because they were communicating. Well, let me just start over. The 40 meter ham band in the early to mid evening is a good band that you can talk on propagation wise. And apparently last Friday night, according to my information, a Russian submarine was surfaced about 100 kilometers out off the Florida coast. And a Russian ham on that surface sub put out a call on the 40-meter ham band. 40-meter ham band. I don't know the exact timing, but it would have been 7, 8 o'clock night, something like that, maybe 7 to 9 o'clock, somewhere in there. And it wasn't put out so it would be heard worldwide necessarily, but it was put out on the 40-meter ham band so it would reach into Florida and the East Coast, Georgia, and that kind of stuff, Carolinas, but also go across to the Gulf Coast, be picked up in Texas or Alabama or Mississippi, Louisiana, that kind of thing. So last Friday night, I know that the guy that heard it, and there was a recording made of it that was not put out on any kind of a thing where it says Russian sub, but what it was put out under was on a specialized ham-oriented site, and a good ham put it up there as a recorded, which started out was only identified by a Russian call sign, like I think it's either UA or whatever as their ham call sign, but whatever it is, it was a Russian call sign, maritime mobile. It's what the call went out. Rush call sign, maritime mobile, and a bunch of hams jumped on that from Florida, and also four or five different ones contacting. But here's what allegedly, paraphrase what the Russian said. The Russian ham on a surfaced Russian submarine 100 clicks or 100 kilometers out off the coast of Florida. That's about 220 miles. And apparently, this is something to what he said. The Russian sub guy, who's the ham, says, you American hams, do you not understand what your crazy president is doing? We're here surfaced, and we're a sub, and we're loaded. And we don't want to do anything to anybody, but do you not understand what you're forcing to be happening here? How would you like it if the missiles were back in Cuba from the Cuban Missile Crisis? You know, we're back there. What did you do at that period of time? Well, now here we go again. He says, now you're putting U.S. weapons and NATO weapons, giving them to Ukraine to use inside Russia. So the surfaced ham, Russian ham, and in order to do that, they would have to put up the HF antenna and all of that kind of a thing. And they made it then Russian call sign, up, 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 radio, maritime mobile, and a bunch of people jumped on it. And as far as I know on the recording, about four or five U.S. hams in Florida and then also another one in Texas contacted him quickly, and they, you know, said, hey, we don't know about this stuff. It's not been on the news. The news has not been covering it. He said, don't you know about it? But we kind of do, but we don't have much data because the mainline news stations and things on television are not covering, or the papers either. But the Russian basically said, we're a surface sub, 100 kilometers out, off the coast. And he said, we're here to work, and we're not the only ones. There's going to be a lot more coming. And since then, more have come, okay? And they're all loaded with missiles ready to hit the United States. And you remember 2025, the Deagle forecast, World War III. And how many people in the United States would be nailed or killed. And Putin is basically, U.S. NATO bomb Russia. Putin responds by threatening to attack European cities. He says, are you ready for nuclear war? Question mark. Tensions at the biggest point, and Western force begin attack on Russia. World War III, ready to go nuclear, Brother Quayle's comment today. But the 22 Russian subs, one of them surfaced and was talking to the U.S. AMs, putting it out. And what's interesting is after that Friday night broadcast, I talked about it Saturday to some people. And it was put up nonchalant or, you know, in a sort of in obscura, basically just saying this is a catch from Bup Maritime Mobile. And so people went up to look at it, but they did it that way so that the federales in the United States wouldn't go onto the site and knock the thing completely off. Because that's what they do if there's something that's heard by the Russians or heard back in the old days. I remember when a certain guy heard Dick Cheney talking in the clear. And we broadcast that about 204, 205 in that era. Well, that guy ended up, I believe, after they put that up there on the deal, because it was Air Force 2 talking, or Air Force 1, whatever it was at the moment, and Cheney was talking in the clear on the phone, and somebody ended up just to call him the Dutch chocolate. The Dutch chocolate ended up dead in a canal in Amsterdam, I believe. So they do this kind of crap to cover it up, and they're the ones. They're the ones in the Navy bases and in Treasure Island and different places with all of the stuff that they have, the satellites and all the billions of dollars of stuff. That they should be watching the Russian subs rather than watching or listening for MAGA Catholic pro-lifers or MAGA parents at the children's PTA meetings raising Cain at the school board meetings because the kids are being raped in the bathroom. The Russians doing military drills in the Caribbean. Well, they've been doing them. They've been down there for a while, but they're doing them all up and down that early coast in the Atlantic, and they're doing them on the West Coast as well. And basically, Putin has basically said that it'll allow Russian weapons to hit up to 900 different U.S. and NATO bases around the world, okay? But all they got to do is pop America, and then you got some interesting scenarios going on. They don't have to hit all the bases. They could. They could take out Virginia, the sub-base Florida, different ones. They could do all of that. But they could also take out the power grid with the pop-pop, fizz-fizz over two over the United States in the center, or say two on the half of the East Coast to the Midwest, another two in the Midwest, and another two in the East, on the West Coast, you see. Take the power grid down, and within, just by that, within 12 months, you would have 90% of the population dead, which equaled about what the Deagle Report started to say it would be in 2025. So we don't even have to, like, hit actual cities or bases. You could just take it out with the power grid. But they might take out a few bases as well. So I'm going to recommend that you understand that this thing is real close. And Biden and all the people, Macron, all the big people, Trudeau, the English, all of them reaffirmed the fact, and Zelensky had a new black sweatshirt on and dress pants, of course, with his wife at the deal. So they're discussing all of the stuff, what's about to happen with them there. And they're pledging to protect Europe. But like I heard today, you think about it, President Trump knew about it. So when are the Europeans going to go in all in and not the United States? Why don't the Europeans protect the Europe and really put all of their stuff in against the Russians? Now it is NATO, and we are a part of NATO. But they've only been contributing very small amounts for years. And it's mostly the U.S., but now I guess France has put Mirage in. They put in Foreign Legion. Although the first Foreign Legion they sent, the Russians killed a buku of them. Maybe up to 1,500 of them they got. Or quite, not quite that amount, but a large number. They got them all. And then on D-Day, 2,500 Americans. And many more Canadians, Brits, Polish, Free French. Red blood and guts in the water. You better believe it. And what marvelous people. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. They say, well, will there be any other generation be able to do this? Well, all I know, I mean, if you look at just the Navy frogmen, the underwater demolition team that hit that beach and stayed on that beach, naval infantry, they call them or whatever, blowing the Utah and Omaha, blowing some of the obstacles and stuff for landings, to prevent landings, blowing them up as they went and getting shot up. And, you know, I think that there were like 85 different machine guns on Omaha Beach, German machine guns. You know, MG-42s that I think had 1,000 rounds a minute capability. And you got 85 of them. That's 85,000 rounds crisscrossing that beach just from the machine guns alone, let alone from grenades, rifle fire, cannon fire, etc. 88 guns. Consequently, that's a deadly environment. Something else. I talked to somebody who was on D-Day before. And I also used to work with a guy who was there right at, just as soon as D-Day, in the early a.m. they landed. They were a communication company that then went straight out following the troops, and they got ahead of the advancing Americans and put up phone lines and radio lines and different stuff, different comm lines ahead of the troops and staying ahead of them to keep their ability to communicate up. just an interesting side story. It's kind of interesting that the particular guy I knew was a captain of the communication company. And he sent his old top kick sergeant out to reconnoiter and see what was going on, see what he could find. And they didn't have trucks to go and do the things they wanted to do. So the old, I believe he was from Alabama. Alabama, or maybe it was either Alabama or Mississippi. And the top sergeant went out and he found a German bunker that had a train in it. And the rail cars were filled with cases of cognac and wine and champagne and whiskeys and all kind of hard drinks. Case after case after case of cognac and different wine and stuff. And schnapps, the whole nine yards of Nazi booze in this rail car in a particular deal. Well, the sergeant came back and reported to the captain that I knew. And the captain said, you go down to the beach and you tell the beachmaster you need some trucks. Tell the beachmaster you need trucks and you tell him why and you tell him I said so. And we're going to give them half the load of the booze, okay? So they sent about 10 or 12 trucks up there, which is what they needed. And they took up, went into the thing, and they loaded up 10. They loaded up like 12 trucks, big trucks, deuce and a half, filled with all this liquor, gobs of it, and took it back to the beach, and they offloaded some to the beachmaster. They took the balance of it plus the trucks and they went on their communication. So they had the ability to then trade that booze, the Nazi booze and the French booze that was in that rail car, in that siding bunker in the side of the wall or the hill there. And they were able to parlay that and trade that for stuff all along the line. And he said the company street in there, when they would stop and would have put their tents up, having a company, the company street had all the cases of the liquor in the center of it. And then every officer in the dadgum area would come in, and whatever they needed, they got them a little bit of their stuff. You see what I'm saying? They traded it for them. And then the other thing he said, which was interesting, they used to keep their points totals on bridge, and they used to have charts on the wall with colored pens or pencils, and they would show the different charts up and down, and all the officers were impressed by that, but they never said, well, what's that? Well, those are our statistics. Oh, well, yes, production statistics on comms. It was their bridge points. So that's a little true story. But anyway, they ran all that stuff and ran communication lines from day one on ahead of the troops and all of that stuff. And the Pointe du Hoc, whoa, man. But one thing that struck me was that even the 100-year-old veterans were saying, hey, they try to tell kids about this at school, but none of the kids have had any of the history of the, particularly history of D-Day or World War II or hardly any of it. They haven't had anything about World War II, and they haven't had much about the Vietnam War or the Korean War, let alone this Gulf War. And the kids also have never had what I would call basic constitutions and Bill of Rights and civics classes. The social studies doesn't cover it. I asked my nephews one time, have you had taken a constitution test, or how many times have you taken it? Well, we never did. We never took a constitution. We didn't really study it other than we said there was a constitution. We didn't study it. But we did study the UN Charter in social studies. So I'm going to tell you, you need to teach the kids a basic civics class, and you could go and get a book or two in teachers' books, and you just go online, you type in a basic government or civics class and Constitution, basic Constitution, Declaration of Independence information. Or you could get a basic history book, and you could look it up, and you could get the teacher's volume, and then you could get a few of the kids' books. And you need to start teaching history. Because I'm going to tell you, people don't know it. Now, also, we don't know since the World War II, Brokaw called them the greatest generation. And they were awesome. But they were also educated in such a way that it made them who they were. They were Americans. And the American today and the education that these kids get is not that good. Not that good at all. So you're going to have to tell them what's going on, and you may have to tell them quick, because what I heard Biden say today was there'd be a requirement that we stay and defend democracies all over the world, wherever they're at, and freedom, and that the price you pay is the dead kids, dead young men, and today it'll be dead young men and women. As it was then, too, because many nurses and stuff were nailed and hit and killed. But the Russian sub did surface and did say, "You Americans, what's going on? Do you not know that your president is doing this crazy stuff?" And the hams that answered, particularly, I think, from Florida and Texas and maybe a few others along the Gulf Coast, or a few other up and down Florida, maybe Georgia. I don't know all the ones on there because from what I understand, the recording was maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And they wouldn't talk too long. They would call the guy, the Russian, they would call his call sign back and say, "This is ham up, up, up in America, but, you know, Texas or whatever, or in Florida." And the gist of it is that the Russian would tell them, "We are loaded out here, loaded up. We do not want to fire on you. But we're here and we're surfaced. And we're telling you this. And there's many more coming in." So that at least 11 on the East Coast. And I'll tell you what, from what I understand, there's also some Chinese submarines that are west and east. So consequently, ladies and gentlemen, you better get prepared. Now, what do we mean by prepared? Well, if you look up and you look up nuclear fallout shelter, Holly Drennan Dale's book, you know, or Hoag's book, if you can get a hold of Philip Hoag, excellent book. No such thing as doomsday. And I've got it right here. Let me see if I can slide it out of a stack. Too many books, too many piles of paper in the old radio headquarters office. Okay. Which is just a room in the house, right? An office in the house. But, oh, man. No such thing as doomsday, how to prepare for natural disasters, terrorism, war, and other threats. Excellent book by Philip L. Hoag. And he's got all kind of information in here. And here is let's see what we got. and see where we're at. Look up this particular thing here. This title in a search engine. What to do if the nuclear disaster is imminent? And that was at KI4U.com/guide. I don't know if that's still there or not. But it was called What to Do If a Nuclear Disaster is Imminent. Number one, stay or go. Decide first if you need to prepare where you are or your attempt evacuation. What you need to do first. Delegate and assign to different adult family members specific tasks so they can be accomplished at the same time. Now, it says here you need to assign somebody now to go immediately to the stores with that list about food and supplies and all the different stuff. But you need to have done that already and been doing that, okay? And then in there in Hoag's book is all kind of stuff. Maximum allowable accumulated exposure. Length of time. Maximum dose in Rankins over 24 hours. 75 Rankins or RADs, basically. 100 days or more. Over 35 years of age, 150 maximum dose in Rankins or RADs. 100 days or more, under 35, 100. If you have a dosimeter and a charger, that would be good to have. Radiation detectors, okay. And you got to be able to understand all of this, and there is quite a little bit of math at some of these things, but that's why you need to get the book and read up on it. If you've got a decontamination room, you're better off. Isolate and dispose of decontamination waste. You got to take a shower and scrub your body and your scalp if you've been out. You got to read up about this. The contamination room must have a survey meter, protective clothing, and respirators for the decontamination staff or your house. So there's all kind of information in these books. All kind of information. But if you look up what to do if a nuclear disaster is imminent, Brother Quayle used to be able to get your rad meters, different things. Check with stevequayle.com, 406-586-4840. And while you're there, you might want to get you some gold and silver as well. When fallout is first anticipated, even though it has not yet arrived, have anybody still outside begin wearing their dust protector filter mask and hooded rain ponchos. Everyone should be taking their potassium iodide or potassium iodate, KI, or potassium iodate, KIO3, tablets for thyroid protection against cancer-causing radioactive iodine, a major product of nuclear weapons explosions. If no tablets available, similar protective effects. It can be done with doctor's IDs or with doctor's information and information you might do with some iodine in a bottle, but you need to check that out, and I would definitely get potassium iodide or potassium iodate and get enough for each person, which they say the dose for up to 30 days or something like that. You're going to have if you can get military-grade gas masks and military-grade gas mask filtration, M95, M, military 95, not N, but military 95s. Generally made by the Germans. You're going to have food, supplies, water, shelter. The principles, you know, basically of radiation protection are simple. You got to have many options, but basically, you've got to have mass, and you've got to be able to protect against the fallout, you see. But 3 feet of dirt, 2 feet of concrete, you know, a couple inches of steel, that kind of thing. I tell you what, I like the fact that you could make a lean-to type shelter, which some of the Homeland Security also has up on its site, what to do in the event of a nuclear war. Nuclear war shelters. You can Google all these things. Then you got our old buddy, who wrote the book on it. At Oak Ridge. Oh, and I cannot think of where it's that book at. Chris and Carlson. How to Survive a Nuclear War. And you have shelters and all kind of things that you talk about. You can have a basement shelter. You can have a lean-to shelter. In your decontamination room, you might have also, say, in a garage or something like that. You might have a kid's swimming pool with water in it and a hose that you can then wash off in. So it's kind of an interesting scenario that you better have something ready to go. But the lean-to shelter, if you took like a 3/4 inch plywood and you put a, stood it up against a wall, then if you had along the edges a U shape or a C shape, you know, it'd be a U. In other words, not at the top, but you had it in the down the two sides and at the bottom, like a tube of 6 or tube of 10 even, and you had them grooved onto the 3/4 inch plywood, you could then lean it up against the wall. You could stack bricks or the flat concrete blocks. You could stack them in there and then also have it against, say, a block wall in the basement, preferably somewhere in a block wall where you might have also water or a bathroom with a sink or something there where you could get some water. But you can then also put storage containers of your food, cases of your food, any water barrels, stack them up around the edges as well, around the edges and at the ends. And you could also pile up any furniture or that kind of stuff up in front of that thing. And you've got a pretty decent protection in terms of distance and mass and possibly water. To protect you somewhat. Now in Hoag's book and in other books, they also give you all kind of information about the number of rads and what distance and what, you know, how, what type of a room you could get. Maximum protection with a safe room. And you've got to have an air purifier, some kind of an air filter in the room. You just can't stay in there without anything else. You can do things where you have an alternative to an air filtration unit, but if you can have one where you had an air filtration unit where you could have it turn the crank to vent it out outside or somewhere of your safe room, you want to have a positive pressure, basically, filtration system if you can. But an alternative to it is to have a high-end vacuum cleaner with a HEPA collection filter to create a positive air pressure in your safe room. Now, that's another possibility. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to read up on this stuff. Radiation and shielding. Lead, about an inch. Steel, 1.2 inches. Concrete, 3.9, but I just say wood is about a foot. Five feet, earth. I don't know. It just depends on what's a half value layer that you're looking for. And the half values are the different amounts of radiation. Possible fallout protection. Using various mass thicknesses to attenuate 1,000 rads of gamma radiation. Okay. Concrete is about 19.5 inches, 2 feet. Dirt is about 27. Let's call it 3 feet dirt. 2 feet concrete. And if you've got that, you've got a protection factor equals about 30, or the most you would get would be 31 rads, 32 rads out of 1,000 at that period of time. And you can achieve that in like a corner, basement, shelter room, or possibly a, you're on a farm and you've got an old cave for putting in your milk and your thing, the eggs to keep it cool, or a, what you call a root cellar. You could do that. Surprisingly, some possible protection factors, if you're in a big building, a high-rise building, there are some of them that are not bad if you can go to the basement and all I know is you better read up on it. Better read up on it because this thing could go wild weasel at any time. Very, very interesting situation, I'm just telling you. And, but you can also do that KI for you if they still have it up. What to do if a nuclear disaster is imminent. But you need to also go to No Such Thing as Doomsday. You need to go to Press and Carlson's How to Survive Nuclear War. And that's available as a PDF for free online. And you can print that out. somewhere I have mine printed out, but of course I can't find it, but I've sort of already done some of the basic stuff anyway. And that is all that that basically matters to. I'll tell you, the fact that this could happen is darn near a fait accompli. They don't think that the Russians are going to use the nukes. But Putin is not bluffing. And they sent the, they've sent over all their subs, sent all the subs over. And what can you do? We've had nuclear war with the Russians before. I've talked to you about the Battle of the Harvest Moon, where they took out our base on the moon, the Russian cosmospheres, using electromagnetic and pulse plasma-type weapons. And they don't have to use full-blown nukes. They say, oh, well, they'll just use tactical nukes. It'll be in the Ukraine. Well, maybe. Maybe not. When they're threatening and telling you that the United States is a target, and when you have a Russian submarine off the coast of Florida at 100 kilometers, that's about 220 miles, tell you that they don't want to hit us. And what is your crazy president doing? Then by golly, you better listen up and you better go out and you need to get food and all the different things. Long-term storage food, canned goods. And I'm talking about where you need to think in terms of rations. How many calories do you need to eat a day to survive and to be able to fight? Because there's going to be people coming down your block, too. Could be anywhere from Chinese, Russians. And, you know, at the San Diego sector this morning, I think there was over close to about 1,100 Chinese and maybe up to 4,000 different people from India, China, Turkey, Mauritania. Different places coming into the San Diego sector. They're mostly all single men, you know, 18 to 35, that kind of age. Well, those are warriors. Those are people, they want to work, they say. But they could also start out real quick and start to bomb stuff in the United States and start terror events. And Red China Joe don't know which way to get off the stage. Japan, billions vaccinated will die. Those responsible must pay as the tsunami of deaths among the vaccinated continues to accelerate. And the Japanese people continue rising up against the elite. The truth is startling, starting to emerge. It's happening in the United States, happening all over the world. They have Fauci on there, and he's a lying piece of, you know what, doo-doo. Couldn't believe listening to that. So, Russian subs, Chinese subs, China going after, getting ready to go after Taiwan. This thing doesn't look real good. Iran in the Middle East, and incidentally, this being D-Day, who was the commander of the Allied troops? Dwight D. Eisenhower, right? And then who did the Houthis, using Iranian missiles, allegedly nail which carrier? The Dwight D. Eisenhower. And I think that the videos and the pictures of the carrier damage are correct or real on the flight deck. And that's done with Iranian missiles by the Houthis. And we don't do diddly squat. Biden doesn't know what he's doing or what he's up to. And if you got Barack Hussein Obama and you got Valerie Jarrett, who is an Iranian communist with American citizenship, of course. And then you find out they're giving all this money back to the Iranians, and they're buying all the missiles and the stuff with it, and arming all the Hezbollah, the Hamas, the Houthis, all the different proxies. And why a U.S. aircraft carrier gets hit when all of these carriers are supposed to have the protective weaponry, but they do not, apparently. Supposed to have the Aegis surrounding it. The Arleigh Burke class, you know, with the Aegis stuff. Supposed to have the air cap up protecting the carrier group. And I guess they don't. But why, even if they got hit, why didn't somebody in the carrier group land everything they had in their pot on the dadgum Houthis in Yemen and blow it in and make the desert into green glass? Okay? The whole thing. Or better yet, why don't you hit Natanz or Isfahan, the ancient city in Iran? Because if you're going to start playing these games of missiles on the carriers, and if you got Russian subs surfacing, talking to Americans and saying, hey, look, we really don't want to launch on you, but what's your president doing? And then Putin saying, if they don't quit hitting Russia and putting the missiles into Russia, and I guess Biden said today over at the D-Day, oh, we only mean within 200 miles of the border of, can't be used beyond that. But yet then, Burns, a CIA burn man, the burn ward, he says that they need to have to be able to hit anywhere in Russia. Well, you want to go toe-to-toe with the Russians, then go nuclear war, then that's exactly what you're up to. The burn ward. Man. And I understand all of that. There's something to be said for it, but you should have your stuff deployed off their areas, ready to launch and nail their butt. But we don't have the stuff anymore. And they used to have in the triad. Used to have the two keys. You had the boat driver and another officer had the keys to the nuclear weapons. And then under certain circumstances, they had orders to get their orders out. And they had their targets lined up. They turned the two red keys or whatever. Open it up, get the orders, and get the launch codes. Well, now you got to surface or put an antenna array up to get the launch codes from Obama when he was reading a children's book. off the coast there on the island of Massachusetts. And you couldn't get the codes. And then Bush took them off. W. Bush took the codes off as well, off the submarines. I don't know if they're back on or not. Trump probably put them back on, but now they probably are off. So you have to get permission directly from the president. To get the launch codes to launch. And then they used to be able, if you didn't get any kind of a thing that said don't launch, you went ahead and launched them. That was part of the triad. The bombers, the submarines with the missiles and the warheads, and then also the ICBMs and the Minutemans and all the stuff inside the United States. The nuclear triad. Plus, tactical stuff in the field was out there as well and on certain other ships. But I'll tell you what, just looking at in terms of the UDT or the underwater demolition frogmen, the father frogs, they called them. Fox has got a show on where the current SEALs, Navy SEALs, went over there, four or five of them did a program, and they experienced what the UDTs did on the beaches in Omaha and Utah, etc., to blow the obstacles, and how they were there all day. Don't go into their loose prairie at night without a fight. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your Bill of Rights. Go out and get yourself some food tonight. Help old Hawk if you can. God bless you. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology to strike blows against the enemy. The Lord Jesus and of the true American patriots. Fandango Rangers, I know you're ready. Nicky LaPool, baby. Stay on the optic, Nicky. And you better head to Porky. Road and track and little L. May the Lord Jesus protect you from all evil. Keep up your Muay Thai ways, your ninja ways, and your science ways. And have your dad take down to the target practice. You got a good mom and dad. Bless all my friends in Iowa. My buddies in Nebraska. Good night.